Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Text 45. Danyam Yashasyam Ayushyam Punyam Swasti Ayanam Mahat Svargyam Dravyam Salmanasyam Prashasyam Aga Marshanam Danyam Yashasyam Ayushyam Punyam Svastyayanam Mahat Svargyam Dravyam Samanasyam Prasasyam Magamarshanam Danyam Yashasyam Ayushyam Punyam Svastyayanam Mahat Svargyam Dravyam Samanasyam Prashasyam Agamarshanam Danyam Yashasyam Ayushyam Punyam Svastyayanam Mahat Svargam Dravyam Samanasyam Prashasyam Agamarshanam Danyam Prashasyam Ayushyam Punyam Svastyayanam Mahat Svargam Ayushyam Punyam Svastyayanam Mahat Svargam Svastyayanam Shasyam Ayushyam Punyam Svastyayanam Mahat Ayam Ayushyam 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 Vaishnavis Punyam Svastyayanam Mahat Svayam Varasya Marasya Prashasyam Agamarshanam Danyam Yasyasyam Ayushyam Punyam Svastyayanam Mahat Svayam Varasyam Marasya Prashasyam Agamarshanam Danyam Yashasyam Ayushyam Punyam Svastyayanam Mahat Shiram Hasyam Samanasyam Ashasyam Agamarsanam
Danyam bestowing wealth Yashasyam bestowing reputation Ayushyam increasing the duration of life Punyam sacred Swasti Ayanam creating auspiciousness Mahat great Svargyam bestowing achievement of heavenly planets Dravyam or Dhruvaloka Samanasyam pleasing to the mind Prashasyam glorious Agamarsanam counteracting all kinds of sinful activities. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. By hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj, one can fulfill desires for wealth, reputation, and increased duration of life. It is so auspicious that one can even go to a heavenly planet or attain Dhruvaloka, which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj just by hearing about him. The demigods also become pleased because this narration is so glorious and it is so powerful that it can counteract all the results of one's sinful actions. Purport. There are different types of men in this world, Not all of them pure devotees. Some are karmis, desiring to acquire vast wealth. There are also persons who are only after reputation. Some desire to be elevated to the heavenly planets or to go to Dhruvaloka, and others want to please the demigods to get material profits. Herein it is recommended by Maitreya that every one of them can hear the narration about Dhruva Maharaj and thus get their desired goal. It is recommended that the devotees, akama, the karmis, sarvakama, and the jnanis who desire to be liberated, mokshakama, should all worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead to acquire their desired goals of life. Similarly, if anyone hears about the activities of the Lord's devotee, he can achieve the same result. There is no difference between the activities and character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and those of his pure devotees. Om Jnana Timrandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuan Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we're learning that even if one has material desires, one can still benefit from hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj. Akama sarvakamova mokshakamu daridi tivrena bhakti yogena vyajeta purusha param. It's the recommendation of Shastra that whether one is freed from all material desires, as the devotees are, or whether one is addicted to all kinds of material desires, as the karmis are, or whether one is desiring liberation from material existence, as the jnanis do, Still, all of them can get their desired result by, you know, worshiping the Supreme, you know, Personality of Godhead. Of course, the ultimate position is to be freed from all material desires and be desiring only to please, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's not easy to come to that position immediately. So there's kind of an intermediate stage where we exist, you know, between the stage of pure devotional service and between being just purely absorbed in material desires. So Krishna makes, you know, that allowance that if we satisfy, you know, our desires according to the instructions that he gives in Bhagavad Gita, other literature, that counts as devotional service. And gradually one will become, you know, purified from the material desires and will come eventually to the stage of pure devotional service where the only desire is to please Krishna. So, of course, we don't want to, even though that allowance is there, we don't want to become stuck in that, you know, middle stage where we are just, you know, performing devotional service that is mixed with all kinds of, you know, material desires. So the devotees, they try to recognize what these desires are, and they want to give them up, you know, eventually. There's one verse in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, kamadinam kati nakatida palita nur durnidesha. So kama adinam, there are various kinds of, you know, material aspirations and influences. Kama, you know, being lust, kama, krodha, loba, madha, moha, matsarya. So kama is lust, and krodha is anger. You know, usually when lusty desires are frustrated, one becomes angry. Kama, krodha, lobha. Lobha means, you know, greed. Even if one is fulfilling one's desires, one still wants more and more. So kama, krodha, lobha, moha. Moha means an illusion. You know, one may think, you know, one is doing something, but really one's doing something else. Like, you know, a politician may think, you know, I'm serving, you know, my country, but really he's serving his own, you know, desire, you know, to control others. So that it's an illusion, you know, to think I'm serving my family, I'm serving my country, I'm really, one is serving oneself, you know, Srila Prabhupada said. So it's an illusion. So this is an example of moha, you know, illusion. You know, one's thinking one thing, but in reality, another thing is actually going on. And then there's madha, which means just complete craziness. You know, sometimes we see that, you know, people do completely crazy things that have no reason, rhyme or reason to them. And matsarya, envy. So kamadinam. So all these six influences are there, you know, in conditioned consciousness, and one serves them. One becomes a servant of these six masters: lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness. One becomes a servant of these, and they're very, very hard taskmasters. In this verse, it says, durnidesha. So, nidesha means some instruction or order. So if you become a servant of a bad master, then you have to perform all kinds of duties that you may not want to do. this happens. Because one is accepting, greed and lust and anger as masters, one has to obey their instructions, even though one may have some little sense, inside that one shouldn't be doing these things. But still, because we've accepted these bad masters, we find ourselves in a position of having to obey them, even though, internally we may have some reservations or doubts about it. Still, we feel compelled because they're giving us something that we want, some type of sense gratification. And, the symbol of sense gratification in the material world is money, because if you have money, then you can satisfy, your desires in different ways. So Srila Prabhupada said something interesting in this regard. he was talking about the assassination of President Kennedy. So he said, and he was saying it in connection with this verse, Kaamad inam katina katida palita durni de sha, about how people will, just for the sake of money, do things that they know they really shouldn't do, because have accepted a bad master. Prabhupada's talking about someone. He said, if he proposes that I will give you $5,000, you go and kill that man. Oh, I will do it, because I will do immediately. I will go because I want the money. As it happened, the president is killed. Why the president, Kennedy was killed. You can hire anyone and to kill anybody, especially in the Western countries. And so Sri Papa is saying you can just give some money to someone and they'll go and kill for you. And then he went on to say in this conversation, which took place on April 30th, 1972, he quoted the verse, Kamad inam katina katida. Just like this man who killed President Kennedy, he was also killed. So although he accepted to kill the president, which he should not have done, but still the man who paid him or engaged him, he was not satisfied. He also killed him. This is the position. So, Srila Prabhupada kind of understood, what was really going on there. Because the usual story is this one man just killed him all by himself. But, Srila Prabhupada could understand, yes, somebody paid him to kill the president. And when he did it, then he was also killed. So this is an example of, what happens, by, serving, these bad masters. And one way or another that happens. If we try to serve kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, we try to serve them, but they're bad masters. They really don't allow us any peace. Verse goes on, tesha jata mayi na karuna na trapa no pashanti. So these masters that we serve, they don't have any mercy on us. Na karuna, they're not very merciful. Just like normally, if you serve some master, you think, okay, I've served you in this way and that way, give me a break now. They these masters, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy, they're never satisfied. You can try to satisfy your lust in so many ways. With the same sex, with the opposite sex, by yourself. You serve, and still they're never satisfied. There's more and more, demands, that they make. Greed. You try to accumulate something, some money, something. And then you never have enough. There's never enough. The greed keeps pushing on and on and on. And in the course of these things, you get involved in so many difficult affairs, so many contradictory, frustrating types of dealings that bring one to the point of krodha, anger. And then you think, by becoming angry, I'll solve the problem. on a big level, sometimes, politicians think, yes, some country is bothering us, we'll declare war on them. And then they find, no, they've just created another problem, the worse one. So it's sort of a never-ending cycle. And then one becomes entangled in illusion and madness. Of course, envy is also there. So by serving these masters, they show no mercy. They don't recognize, you've done so much for me, take a break. No. Natrapa, by performing these activities, we never become satisfied. You would think, I've performed, I've tried to satisfy my lust in so many ways. Let me become a little bit ashamed. And let me learn my lesson. But no, it doesn't work like that. There's nothing built into these activities that will automatically cause you to have a sense of shame or conscience, whereby automatically, if you just do these things enough, you'll come to the point where you understand, I should be ashamed of myself. No. There's nothing about these masters that's automatically, going to provide anyone with a sense of shame or conscience. And no prashanti, you never become satisfied. These activities, serving these masters, will never give any sense of real satisfaction. You may become exhausted at some point. They become exhausted by their material activities. And they just want to, give it a break for a while. But the desires come back. And one again is engaged, in serving these very bad masters that have no mercy, no shame, give no satisfaction. So this devotee who was praying like this, he goes on to say that, somehow or other, my dear Lord Krishna, I've come in contact with you, and somehow because of that, because of coming in contact with you and your devotees, I've been given a little bit of spiritual intelligence. So just let me somehow or other keep exercising my intelligence in the proper way that I serve you. Because by that service, by serving Krishna, all desirable things, come. And even if we do have some, to some extent we still are, the prisoner of these kamadinam. If we satisfy these desires within the limits that Krishna allows, then gradually those will go away. those things will go away. And the only thing left will be, the pure desire to serve Krishna. So, somehow or other, we all eventually have to become like Paramahamsas and like swan-like devotees. They're able to separate, the milk from water. If milk and water become mixed, it's very difficult to separate them. But said the swan can do that. The swan can take the milk, out from the water. So we're in a position like that, where somehow or other, by Krishna's mercy, Krishna has, injected into this world his, bhakti shakti, his potency of devotional service, his divine pleasure potency, which we can connect with in different ways. But then also, there's this mayic energy as well. So, we have to become, expert in choosing, which, energy to associate. I mean, that's our eternal position as, marginal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Shakya Tata Para Avidya Karma Samgamya Triti Shakti Ishyate. That's from the Vishnu Purana. So it describes that there are three potencies of the Lord. There's his spiritual potency, which is composed of his spiritual form, his devotional service, his associates, his pastimes. So there's that spiritual potency. Then there's the Kshetragya, the jiva soul, the individual knower, which is Tatapara. It's originally also part of the spiritual potency. But there's this other potency, avidya karma, the activities of ignorance. And it's situated between the two. Therefore, it's called marginal potency. And it always has the ability to choose, to serve, Krishna, or to serve independently of Krishna, serve itself. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavanchakare Nikatashta Mayatari Japati Adare. If the soul turns from Krishna, doesn't want to serve Krishna, then Maya is there with her servants, Kama Adinam, Kama, Krodha, Loba, Moha, Matsarya, Mada, who will engage us in their service, and avidya karma, the activities of ignorance. So that is a choice that we always have. So how do we learn? It's not just a matter of learning in an intellectual sense. It's more like a taste test where you learn, like what the proper taste of something is, so that you're able to discriminate, not just intellectually, but, on a deeper level, between desires. What's a spiritual desire? What is a material desire? And by, proper spiritual intelligence, we learn how to do that, both on an intellectual level and on a practical level. We can discriminate intellectually. Oh, I know what illicit sex is intellectually, and I know what the proper system of marriage is and things like that. So intellectually, we should understand these things, but then also on the level of taste, feeling, because there's thinking, feeling, willing. So we have to learn how to discriminate. What is a proper feeling, to have, towards another soul? What are the proper actions to engage in, not just, you know, thinking. So that takes direction. It takes instruction. And it also takes example, too. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we're getting that. You know, in these pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, we're getting, you know, intellectual information, you know, how to discriminate. But we're also getting something else. You know, there's, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually different from Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So it's not that it's just some words that have some intellectual meaning. Just like Krishna's name. Krishna is present in his name. So Krishna and his devotees, they're actually present in Srimad Bhagavatam. They're present in the sound vibration there. And if we approach, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam in the proper way, we'll get not just intellectual information, we'll also get the feeling. We'll also get an experience, you know, a transcendental experience that will help us understand, you know, what is, you know, the proper feeling, what is the proper desire, you know, for a devotee to have. And then when we have that taste, when we're able to discriminate properly what the proper taste is, you know, then we're making some, you know, progress in devotional service. So we can learn these things not just from hearing the pastimes of Krishna, but as Srila Prabhupada says here, there is no difference between the activities and character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and those of his pure devotees. So we've been very fortunate the past few days to be, you know, hearing, you know, from Hari Sori Prabhu about the character and activities of, you know, Krishna's pure devotee, one of Krishna's pure devotees. And, you know, that's very instructive, you know, for us, because of Srila Prabhupada's mentioning here, by hearing, you know, the activities and character of, you know, Krishna's pure devotees, it's non-different from hearing the activities and character of, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any comment? Yes? Oops, okay.
In the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text 65, Krishna says, Nasti buddhir ayuktasya, that without yoga, without being linked to Krishna, to Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, there's no buddhi. And without that, there's no happiness, ultimately, because there's no peace. It's very similar to this verse you quote, Kamadina. But here, in the verse you quoted by Madhavendra Puri, he says, the third line says, I have reattained my buddhi, and therefore I'm giving these desires up, and please engage me in your service. So how did he get that buddhi without first surrendering and becoming linked with Krishna and Krishna consciousness?
Well, there's mercy by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna's devotees, one can get, you know, a little taste that gives one, you know, some intelligence by which to, you know, stop serving, you know, the bad masters. Really, it comes down to the association of devotees, ultimately. You know, that in a particular, you're speaking about which devotee? Madhavendra Puri? Of that verse. Oh, he is. Because in all the references I saw, you know, Prabhupada saying this Brahman, this devotee, he didn't mention his name, but that's Madhavendra Puri. Yeah. So, usually devotees attribute these things to the mercy of other devotees. Yeah, once they say, I think it's Prahlad Maharaj saying, I was tangled in all kinds of desires, but by your mercy, he's speaking about his spiritual master, Narada Muni, where we say, Om Agyana Timurandasya. So it's by the mercy of Krishna and Krishna's devotees that a conditioned soul, gets this opportunity. Brahmanda Brahmate Kohan Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. Because there are other kinds of bijas or seeds. It says the conditioned soul is wandering through the universes and different planetary systems, going through different bodies. But if they're fortunate, somehow or other, they get the seed of bhakti. Now, there's also the seed of kama, the kama bija, loba bija, matsarya bija, the seed of envy, the seed of lust, the seed of greed, the seed. So we've been cultivating those seeds. But if we're fortunate, then we get the seed of devotional service. And if we cultivate it, then we're able to give up, these bad masters. And without that, nobody's actually able to do it. I mean, without that, it's impossible. Archita.
I think you answered it earlier by referring to taste. It's not that the non-devotees don't have this intellectual knowledge. We know there are so many movements even today for no illicit sex because it entangles you in so many ways and so many, it's out there. People know these things. But because they don't have a taste for something higher, that intellectual knowledge becomes just, is useless. So the buddhi that Madhavendra Puri is talking about is not just the words, the knowledge that if you do this, this will happen, don't do this because that will happen. It's not just the words. The buddhi really is related to the bhakti, the taste. He already is on that platform, and he knows what that taste is all about. So he's kind of spurring us towards rising above just the intellectual platform and coming to that bhakti platform. The non-devotees don't have the bhakti, so they have the knowledge. I mean, even in today's degraded society, people are talking about don't engage in illicit sex, don't have intoxication because repercussions are like this. They talk about these things, but they don't have any taste, so they can't stay on that platform.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems that you said in the beginning that people are serving their work and things like that. Why is it that if they have such a determination to be able to go to work and follow the instructions there, that it seems that everyone could have that same sort of desire in spiritual life if they can follow all of the rules and regulations in their job to show up on time every day and perform their duties there? Seems very natural, then they could just do those same, put that same energy into their spiritual life. But it doesn't seem that's the case.
Well, we have to make it the case. I mean, that's our intelligence because, devotees aren't simply interested in their own spiritual advancement. Of course, that's the foundation. Because you really can't help others unless you really have helped yourself somewhat. But once that's done, Srila Prabhupada said we should be straining our brains, how to inject, Krishna consciousness into the world. We're here because he did that. He thought, how can I spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world, and Krishna gave him the intelligence how to do it. So he wanted his followers to do the same thing. And one statement I read from him, he says, the Krishna consciousness movement expands. Devotees will become active in more and more areas of life, in society. So you're right. People can be active in the arts and politics and business and every occupation. They can become active, but dovetailed with Krishna consciousness. And then the activity becomes perfect. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.